What's that? Yeah. Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion and we'll... Let's just take a moment, if we would, and just look at this bread and imagine seeing Jesus on the cross with his body beaten and bruised and a crown of thorns on his head and the stripes on his back. And the nails in his hands and his feet. And a gap where the sword pierced his, or where the spear pierced his body. And let's just reflect on this for a little bit. Imagine, if you will, seeing all of your sins laid on his body. Seeing all of your sicknesses on his body. Seeing all of your sorrows, all of your pains, all of your griefs. Imagine, if you will, seeing everything wrong in this world laid on his body. Now imagine, if you will, seeing everything good released from heaven and coming down to you because of that perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. We're taking this for our healing. We thank you for your perfect sacrifice, your broken body. That shed blood of Jesus that we sing about so often, and we praise the blood of Jesus, we need to understand that that blood of Jesus completely washed away the sins of the world. And it continually cleanses us from all sin. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, everything that was wrong between us and God was made right that very minute. His blood made a perfect relationship between you and God. That's the love of God for us. We thank you for it. All right, we can have children's church, unless they want to stay here. No takers on that one, huh?
Nope.
Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 23. We're still going to be continuing on with our adventure through the book of Acts on how the Holy Spirit deals with us. But there is an interesting thing here in Luke 23, chapter 36. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the king of the Jews." And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, today shall you be with me in paradise." I want you to keep that in mind. And we're going to deal with that here in just a little bit. Now I'll go to Acts chapter 15. And we're going to find Paul dealing with something that we're still dealing with today. I'm not sure it'll ever go away until Jesus comes back and sets this thing right. Chapter 15, verse 1. "Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." Let's just stop right there for a second. The church world is full of preachers that are big on going out and saying you are saved by grace. And that's true, 100% true. But then they say, now, after you get born again and you show up in church, now there's these things that you have to do. I even had one lady call me crying one time. She said, I asked her, I said, "What's wrong?" I know she got born again. I witnessed to her and prayed with her when she got born again. She said, "This preacher said I can't go to heaven because I don't speak in tongues." And I thought, my God. We've got to be absolutely rock solid on this. I had a pastor tell me one time I couldn't be saved if I didn't belong to the Masons. I had one tell me I couldn't be saved because God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. I had one tell me one time I couldn't be saved because I didn't get saved. There was something about standing in the water when you get born again. You got to be standing in the water. I had one tell me I couldn't be saved because I didn't do enough community service. I should belong to the volunteer fire department. And that nonsense is just rampant in the church world today. I want you to think about this guy on the cross. His hands were nailed to the cross and his feet were nailed to the cross the same way Jesus was. This guy, he never read the Bible as far as we know. He never went to church as far as we know. He never got water baptized. He never got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He never spoke in tongues. Doesn't ever talk about him doing any fasting. Here's a big boogaboo. He didn't give all of his tithes to the local church. That right there alone get him kicked out a whole bunch of places. He never did any work in the missionary field. He didn't do any of the things that the church world says you're supposed to do. He did the one thing that was needful. He called on Jesus. He said, Jesus. That's the only thing that you can do. At some point in your life, you're going to have to be willing to just sit down and be honest with yourself and God and say, God, there is absolutely nothing I can do to save myself. There's nothing I can do to make things better. Only you have that power. You are my creator. You are my savior. You are the only one that can do this. It's humbling. And it gets your flesh under control. Verse 2 says, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So evidently, Paul was willing to stand up for the gospel. And here's the thing about preachers. Everybody thinks they're supposed to walk around and be nice and quiet, and you know, and some of them even get thinking that they can just kind of push them around and push them off to the side. But if a preacher doesn't stand up to what's wrong, he doesn't need to be behind the pulpit. And then right there was a big disputation right there. Paul said, I'll take it to your leaders. And he took it to their leaders. He even told Peter, you're wrong. I told some pretty important people in the cowboy world they're wrong. They didn't like to hear that. But I don't care. I want you to know something in the book of Galatians. Turn over there. The gospel in Jesus did absolutely everything for me. I'm sure that I would not be alive without the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Let's talk about that for a second. What would be another gospel? You get born again. Now, you have to get water baptized to get to heaven. You have to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit to get to heaven. You got to do this to get to heaven. You got to do that to get to heaven. Anytime they start adding these things, that's not the gospel. When you get born again, you are saved 100%. You belong to God all the way. Now, there's a whole bunch of things that we can do that will add quality to our Christian experience. See, reading the Bible is a good thing. The more we get to know Jesus through His Word, the better off we are. The more Him is going to come into us, the more His blessings is going to come our way. we go get water baptized, that cuts off our enemies from us. We get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that gives us the endowment of power so we can operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's a good thing to do. You know, fasting is a good thing to do. It's kind of a challenge sometimes, but it's a good thing to do. Doing work in the missionary field is a good thing to do. Giving tithes and offerings is a good thing to do. Doing things in the community is a good thing to do. These are not needful things to get to heaven. See, these are things that if we take them out of context and put them in the wrong place, actually become a burden to people. And then you find people that are working hard to get to heaven. And then what you find is people that are frustrated, people that are burnt out, people that give up. And then you get to the real special group of them that are just plain mean. Some of the meanest people I've found are in the church. They're trying to work their way to heaven, and they're frustrated because they keep failing. And then they're mad because somebody else that doesn't seem to be doing the things the way they think they need to be done keep on getting blessed. They wonder, why not them? I do these things, and I do this, and I do that. You know, Jesus talked about them, the Pharisees. He said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, don't expect to get into the kingdom of God. There's that word, righteousness. Everything boils down to righteousness. And righteousness means this, right standing. When you get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that means you've been put into right standing with Him. That was a booger of a word for me for a long time. I avoided it like the plague. I didn't want nothing to do with righteousness because I didn't know what it meant. But I heard the word righteousness long before I ever set foot in a church. I heard it down at the bar. And it was somebody saying, those self-righteous hypocrites, they tell us not to do these things, but they do the same thing. They tell us not to. I thought, man, I'm staying away from that word. But once I found out that it means being put into right standing because of what Jesus did, I'm all about that word. I could not do one thing to get myself in right standing with God. Nobody can. Your hands are tied, just like the man on the cross next to Jesus. The only thing you can do to get yourself in right standing with God is call on the name of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus is faithful. The Bible tells us that all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. That's good news. I don't care how bad you've blown it. I don't care how bad things are, Jesus will save you. Call on His name. Now here's the thing, funny thing about that word salvation. It's not just born again. So once you get born again, do you know Jesus will still save you? Say you get in a financial crisis. All that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Do you need saved from financial problems? I think pretty much everybody in here better be raising your hands unless you got a really, really big stockpile of gold and silver. Because the financial system we know is going away. Does anybody need healing in them? All that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Salvation is everything a man needs. It's wrapped up in Jesus. When we call on Him, that's where we get everything we need. It's real frustrating, and sometimes people get confused because they start chasing the blessing. They need money, so they start chasing the money. They need healing, so they start chasing the healing. Then they get on the internet and they find all these symptoms and they find all these recipes and all these things. And they start trying to do everything they can. They're trying. They got their best intention. They're trying as hard as they can to get what they need. When really what they need is just to run to Jesus. Because everything they need is wrapped up in Him. Do you know your prosperity is wrapped up in Him? This really bugs a lot of people. But did you know that there's money at the cross? I believe in the prosperity message of the gospel. Not the way it's been preached for a long, long time. But I believe 100% in the prosperity message of the gospel. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor, so that I through His poverty could be made rich. He traded places with me. There's nothing I can do to earn my prosperity. Did you know that? Not one single thing. Only thing I can do is receive His prosperity. And then I've got something to spread that out with. Amen? Same way with healing. There's nothing I can do to earn my healing. I can only receive it. Same way with being born again. There's nothing I could do to earn my salvation that way. All I could do was receive it. And at the time, when somebody finally preached the gospel to me, and they basically said, you don't have to go to hell. If you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you can go to heaven. I thought, my hand went up in the air. That's the only reason I got born again, because I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't know anything else. And when finally somebody said, that's all you can do, is call on the name of the Lord Jesus, I thought, you mean all these people that have been telling me to quit drinking, quit smoking, quit chewing, quit going to bars, quit running around with honky-tonks, quit running around with wild women, quit cussing, quit fighting, quit doing all these things, and then find some young girl and get married and go to church? You mean they had it all backwards? Because what they were doing was they were telling me I could walk in the Spirit. That's just backwards what that scripture says. The scripture says, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the church world had been telling me to do something that was absolutely impossible to do, so that I could live like they wanted to. You know that a man is not ever going to be able to get rid of his character defects without Jesus? That a man is never ever going to be able to defeat his shortcomings without Jesus? You know, a man will never ever be able to do all these good things that the church world demands of him until they first receive Jesus. So there's people out there trying to get their lives together. There's people out there trying to do all these things so that they could get good enough to go to church. That's not right. They should come crawling in here, dragging in here. We need to be an emergency first aid station. These people come in here in a wreck. They need to be welcomed and ministered to. Because they can't save themselves. Some people are afraid to go to church because they don't have any nice clothes. I remember being in that position. Actually, showed up in church and I didn't have any nice clothes. They were kind of dirty and they told me to leave. And in my mind, I had righteousness connected to the clothes you wore, because these guys always wore fancy clothes. Well, I was too poor to have any fancy clothes. That's one reason I dress the way I do now. You're not going to catch me in a suit and tie up here. I want to be approachable to everyone. You know, Jesus was approachable. Even a leper who was hiding under a rock jumped out and said, "Jesus, you can heal me if you will." Jesus said, "I will. Be healed." An outcast, complete outcast. Can you imagine how dehumanized this man must have felt, hiding out in a leper village, cut off from his family and friends, cut off from his place of employment, cut off from the people that loved him, not able to go to the events in the community to enjoy life to its fullest. And actually, they start losing body parts. And they walk around in bandages. Absolutely forbidden from having any contact with the normal world. Can you imagine how dehumanized that man must have felt? And then Jesus touched him. And he got healed. I refuse to dehumanize anybody. Jesus had compassion on people. He knew people were hurting, and he didn't pre-qualify them. He didn't say, "Well, you look like you got some pretty good talent. Maybe you could be of use in the church." No, he just saved them. That's our job, is go out there and witness to people, give them a chance to be born again, and then God can figure out where they need to go. Amen? One of the interesting things, you know, I've just seen so many weird things that just, in the Word of Faith circles, the guys that are supposed to be ahead of the curve are just rampant with some of this nonsense. One of them say, "You need to wear gloves before you get in the prayer line and lay hands on people." I thought, why? Well, you don't want that sickness to get on you. I Are you serious? You're laying hands on the sick, commanding that sickness in the name of Jesus to go away, counting on the blood of Jesus to defeat that, and you're worried that it's going to get on you? And then some of them said, you need to carry hand sanitizer wherever you go. You get in those prayer lines, you don't know what these people might have. You got to wash your hands the minute you get done. Think about what you're saying. That's why we didn't close down during the pandemic. Is the body of Christ above these things or not? You are saved by the grace of God, not of your own works, lest any man should boast. He said, nothing shall by any means harm you. We can take his word and be bold in it, and we can go forth and do the things that we're supposed to do. Remember, people were completely freaked out over the AIDS virus. And somebody would have AIDS, and you'd see people walking around them. What's he going to do, jump off and get you? Are you under the blood or not? Jesus didn't go around people like that. He laid hands on them. He believed his Father's word. We've got to be sure that we stay in that position. Verse 7 of Galatians 1 says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That verse catches my attention every time I see it. A lot more preachers need to pay more attention to that verse. If anybody ever preaches another gospel unto you than that what Paul gave you, let him be accursed. I'm not interested in being accursed. I'm going to tell you flat out, you are saved by grace because of the shed blood of Jesus and what he did on that cross. All these other things that we do are things that we can do to improve our fellowship and improve our Christian experience. I'll never forget this lady come walking up to me in church, and she come right up to me and she said, are you telling me that I don't have to be water baptized to get to heaven? I said, absolutely not. She said, I want to get water baptized. I've been waiting for 30 years for somebody to tell me that. Oh, just getting in the water. She was not going to receive something that was not the gospel. But she wanted to receive the good things, but she wanted to do it in the right way. She wanted to be water baptized, but she wanted it under the understanding that it was to improve her fellowship, improve her Christian experience, not to get to heaven. She did the one thing that was needful to get to heaven. She called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's important to understand these things. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus did. All these other things that we can do and should do are things to help us in other areas, help us with our fellowship, help us with our experience on this earth. But it's not qualifying you to be good enough to receive a blessing from Him. You've already qualified. You've already done it. You said, "Jesus, be my Lord." That very minute, you got made a son or daughter of God, a child of God. As far as God's concerned, He has already freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. Notice this, with Christ Jesus. So when you received Jesus, you received everything. Well, how come I don't got it? How come you haven't read it? See, people are not going to receive something they don't know about. So if you don't know about it, how are you going to walk in it? So you're going to have to find it, find that promise in the Bible, and make it yours. See, that's how you find yourself in the Bible. Jesus found himself in the Bible when he read the scroll. Said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That was describing him. That describes you now. Once you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that verse describes you. That's yours. But if you don't know about it, you're not going to walk in it. The Bible says that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's your verse. But if you don't make it your own by meditating on it and reading it and looking at it and saying it over and over and over and over to get it in your heart, not to change God, you're not going to change God. You're not going to change his mind. You're not going to change his course of direction. You're going to change you. Think about this. Who needs changed? Me or God? Well, I'm pretty smart. No. We come from broken creation. We need changed. And he changes us with his word. If his word, however, doesn't get into us, it's not going to change us. If we're not hearing his word preached, it's not going to change us. Now, here's the thing. It's got to be the true gospel. Otherwise, there's going to be a glitch. Things are not going to quite operate the way they're supposed to operate. I'll never forget, there's a group of people that think that tongues is of the devil. I said, "Boy, where have you been?" Because I hung around some pretty scary places. I mean, you think about it. If tongues was of the devil, I would have heard it in a bar somewhere at some point. I mean, there would have been a song on the jukebox called Tongues or something. You'd have heard it somewhere. You'd have heard the bartender. I was a bartender for a while. I hung around a lot of drunks. If tongues was of the devil, I would have came across it somewhere at some point in time. But I never heard tongues until I got into church. And now they're telling me it's of the devil. What's wrong here? So if tongues is of the devil, then praise and worship. You see, you'd hear that in the bar. Well, I never heard anybody praising God in the bar. God gives only good things. We have to make sure what we're listening to and what we're paying attention to. We have to take heed what we hear. That means you're actually dissecting it. You're making sure this lines up with the Word of God. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bring all things to remembrance. But you have to get it in you. You know, that's why it's important to read the Bible like a novel at least once. You know, just get through the Old Testament however you can. Don't get too wrapped up in it. Just read it, read it, read it. Get in the New Testament, read it. Get it, at least get it in there. So the Holy Spirit has something to remind you of. Because you'll hear almost anything. You'll hear almost anything from behind the pulpit. And people will buy into it hook, line, and sinker if they don't have the witness of the Holy Spirit inside them. And if He doesn't have something to remind you of, how is he going to have anything to work with? We're out of time. I got a little preachy on that one. Sorry. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. We thank you for the work that he did for us on the cross. How he completely washed away our sins. How he set us free. How he broke the chains of bondage. How he put us into the dispensation of grace. We thank you, Father, that your word in our hearts produces fruit for you in your kingdom, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold, return on your word. But it's your word in our hearts that produces the fruit. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we got snacks and coffee back here.